you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, our next guest is a real treat here. And this was born of, for some reason, Jonathan Baldwin came up on the show the other day. I don't even remember why. That led us to the fact that the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame just had its latest induction ceremony only a couple of nights ago. And Baldwin was in this class, the 2025 class, and so were many other recognizable names. This is their 50th anniversary class, I might add, and there's been a lot of great athletes, coaches, and such sports figures from Beaver County. Lance Jeter is another who came up, and not only that, but him and his mom, Joy, became the first mother-son combo in the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame. Joy was a basketball player. And a very good one at that. So we bring on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline right now, Mr. Lance Jeter. Lance, congratulations. And man, it must be so cool to be in there with your mom.
Very a huge honor. Like I said, my mother was, from the first day I could pick up a basketball, she was right there, right next to me, along with my uncle. So she was my first basketball coach ever. So for her to be my first basketball coach, to be in the Beaver County Hall of Fame with her, I mean, it's a blessing. It's like a dream.
Tell us what kind of player she was. There was a great photo of her on the Beaver County Sports Hall of Fame website. I think she's going up for a layup at the time. She was obviously a baller. Yes, she probably beat you until you were, what, about 13?
I'd say about 12. But she was like a power forward type. Like I said, she won state championship at Beaver Falls in 85, went on to go to New Haven in Connecticut, D2 school, where she was a three-time All-American. She's special. Like I said, she taught me the game. She had a, before when the WBA first came, tried out, she tried out for the Washington Mystical. So she's special. Like I said, she taught me, not only me, but she taught our family a lot of things when it comes to the game of basketball. So, like I said, it's a true honor. It's something that I'm truly thankful for, blessed, especially the line of work that I chose, basketball. She's the perfect mother for the job.
That is awesome. What a great story. Limits, can you hear Lance okay? Lance, are you on a speakerphone by any chance?
Yeah, hold on. Let me get off the speaker. Let me see.
That'd be perfect if we could do that.
Hear me now?
Yeah, man. That's better. That's great.
Okay.
So she must have been just bursting with pride the other night when you joined her in that Hall of Fame. What was it like for your mom?
Oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's like when I was there for hers and when she got inducted. It's just one of those where you're just super proud of, you know the history. Obviously, I think about me being inducted, I think about all the sacrifices that she done made. Throughout throughout my career and stuff, when I was young, traveling all around the country for AAU and her spending all the life savings money she had just to make sure I could go, and just little things that she done for me, big games when I was in high school, leaving sticky notes on the refrigerator, telling me what I need to do for that game, and just a lot of stuff don't go unnoticed, and something I just appreciative throughout my career and my life, and like I said, the best mother I could have in the line of work I was doing.
Well, I bet you one of those sticky notes before the 2005 Whitfield Championship game didn't say, Lance, why don't you hit a shot from half court in triple overtime to beat Aliquippa, did it?
No, it definitely was. Her sticky notes was usually, like I said, she was like a power forward. So most of those sticky notes was rebound,
yeah.
Rebound the ball. But, no, this is one of those, like I said, that game, it's just you never know what you're going to get with a team like Aliquippa, obviously. There's our rival, and like I said, not just me, but just all the names across that board. during that game was just very special. So it could go either way. Fortunately, it was our turn to win one, and we did.
Well, I just got off the line. We're talking to Lance Jeter, one of the latest inductees into the Beaver County Hall of Fame on their 50th anniversary. Just got off the phone with Mike White of the Post-Gazette, who said that shot was the most famous shot in Whitfield basketball history. So to set the scene, you guys, Beaver Falls, are in triple overtime with Aliquippa, who has Herb Pope and Jonathan Baldwin on their team. And you hit a half-court shot to win it. What do you remember about the shot, about the play? Did you know it was going in? I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, those type of shots, you never know what could happen. But a lot of people, they always bring up the shot. I mean, I got to tell everybody, like, you take away the shot, I still had 34 points that game. Like, I was... The shot just don't define who I was as a player, but it's definitely a big moment. And just to, like I said, who we was playing, the players that was in the game, definitely makes the shot even more better. But like I said, you never know. We practice those shots during practice every time with Coach Viega, and not just me, but all the players that was on my team. So I think we all was comfortable with taking that shot. I think that night, I was feeling it that night, and it went in.
If you close your eyes from time to time, some people say on moments like that everything was so crazy that my memory's a little hazy. Others say I can remember it like it's a video, a clear video playing in my mind. What's it like for you? Can you see yourself releasing the ball and watching its flight?
Yes, I can, for sure. Like I said, I remember every moment, every second of it. Like, I know from the breakdown, even before that shot, I know what was happening and stuff, so... Those type of memories that just don't go away for me. Like I said, is this one of those games where it's the rival of Aliquippa. So that game is very important, not just to me, but for our community of Beaver Falls. So I definitely remember a step-by-step of it and the reactions of it after the shot was made. So, I mean, like I said, it's a good feeling, great feeling, especially because it was against Aliquippa. And we go down in history for it.
Did you know it was going in when you released it?
It felt good. Like I said, I had a great game. That whole game, I had a great game. So anything I was throwing up was pretty much going in. So I wouldn't doubt it when I threw it up.
You got the ball still, or who has the ball?
Oh, that ball long gone. That was the last thing on my mind after that game. We were so tired and so exhausted. If somebody could have took my uniform, I wouldn't even notice.
Talking to Lance Jeter here on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline. I'm looking at photos of you from Nebraska where you went and played. And then it looks like you had a great career overseas where I see you were an MVP. Was it where did you play? In the Dutch Basketball League, or where did you really find a home?
Yeah Dutch, in Holland, Netherlands, definitely. Two-time MVP. Three-time All-Star there, grown again. Like I said, it was it's a culture shock. Obviously, not being from America, not knowing when you first get there, obviously different language and different atmosphere, just everything all around just different. So I had to really really learn quickly my surroundings and my way around. So it was tough at first, but it's almost like second home. They treated me very well, my family well there, and I was there for like 4 or 5 years. So it's like home for me out there in Holland.
That's cool. It seems like you were like a hero around there, yes?
Yeah, very successful there. Like I said, multiple championships there, multiple MVPs there. Like I said, it got to the point where I didn't feel like I was away from home because of how good they treated me and my family.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a very special place in my heart.
What do you think about growing up in this area, Lance? Most prepared you for the next steps, playing big-time basketball at Nebraska and also overseas?
It's just, like, when you come from Beaver County, you hear about all the good names, all the great, the legends, especially where I come from. Obviously, we have our Joe Namath, we have our Dwight Collisons, even after me, my cousin Shelton Jeter, Donovan Jeter, Todd Thomas. I mean, you hear about all the names before you. You just want to succeed and live up to those names and try to do it better than the people before you. And not just where you're from, but other communities, like obviously the Aliquippas, the Central Valleys. Just every time you're around this area, there's always a big name going somewhere special, and you just want to live up to those expectations. And that's just, I was just one of those people trying to do what I had to do to be the best, the next best thing around here. So you got some pressure, but if you do what you're supposed to do, your community will definitely support you, and I was just the next one.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lance, you're back in town these days. I think Mike told me you're an assistant coach over at Beaver Falls basketball. And I mentioned when you first came on, this whole story started with us wondering about Jonathan Baldwin. I guess he was there the other night. Do you know him well? What's he up to these days?
Yeah, Jonathan I know very well. Jonathan lives in Arizona with his wife and his kids. His oldest son's out there, Jaden Baldwin, who's a big time recruit, wide receiver in Arizona, who got every offer in the country almost. Mm. Looks just like Jonathan, like just as fast as him. So Jonathan lives out in Arizona right now, where he resides though. And like I said, he's just doing his father thing, just like I am, and he's take care of his family, and he's also coaching his son out there. So that's where he's at right now.
That's cool. There were so many great athletes. I mean, just in that game I mentioned, Herb Pope being another one. Who was the single greatest athlete that you played against in high school?
I always say I caught a lot of people when they were young, obviously. Obviously, Darrell Revis. Mm. I had to play against Darrell 2 years. It was probably, as when I'm young, I don't tell him, but as we got older, always, like, he's one of my favorite players to play against. Adam DeMichael, Stone Rocks, was also another person that I loved to play against. Like, just brought the best out of me. Jonathan Baldwin was a good one, obviously. But I caught Jonathan when he was young. I caught him when he was real freshman and sophomore. So I didn't get to experience the junior, senior of him.
Yeah.
Terrell Pryor was another good one, too. But I caught him when he was young also. So these are a couple names that just come to mind that grew up to be, like, very special in our in Beaver County for us.
You played football, too?
Yes, sir.
How many offers in football?
A few offers, Kent State, Akron, and Pittsburgh, but I chose Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati, to go to football out of high school.
And and then you switched to basketball. I'm reading that right here, now. Why? Why did you choose basketball?
All that punishment. I was getting tired of it. My body was hurting too much that first year. I couldn't take it no more. Let me go with the safer sport.
That makes sense. And also, whenever I talk to people who used to play multiple sports, you know, these days, Lance, kids play one sport year round. It almost becomes difficult to play two. The coaches get mad because why aren't you playing travel ball? Why are you playing the other sport? So I want people to hear from you, if you believe this, that it's advantageous to play multiple sports and that coaches in high school and travel ball should be more aware of that. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do very hard. Like, I grew up, obviously, where you play 3 to 4 sports. I mean, I feel like at the end of the day, as you get older and you get ready for college, I think the college coaches, they love a player who's an athlete pretty much. I mean, obviously, I love basketball, but I love football. I love baseball, too. And I feel like it attracts more coaches when you got a dual athlete. I mean, I think it helps you in your resume and stuff. Like I said, we encourage our kids to play multiple sports. Even though I'm a basketball coach, we encourage our kids to play football, play baseball, do track. I mean, anything that's going to help you year-round, obviously, where I come from, we want our kids to be active, stay stay active, obviously, in school and stuff, but mostly we don't want them running in the streets. So we want them to, if we encourage them to do multiple sports, that's what we're going to encourage them to do, and especially if they're athletes, we want them to do all that.
Lastly, Lance, I think also in the Beaver County Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, and correct me if I'm wrong, Limits, we will find Bob Pompiani and Ron Cook. Either one of those names ring a bell for you?
They sound familiar, but I'm not a name guy. I'm a face guy.
I hear you.
In front of me, I'll definitely know who they are.
Well, I used to work with Ron here. He's a sports writer, and now I work with Bob, and their faces are on a cup at the Brighton Hot Dog Shop, from what I understand. Is that right, Limits?
Yes, it is.
But I certainly don't blame you if immediately Ron Cook's name doesn't come to mind. Do you, Limits?
Maybe the voice will be able to ring a bell.
The voice probably, but...
What'd you say, Lance?
Yeah, probably the voice for sure. Like I said, it's been... I don't know the last time I went to the hot dog shop either, so these days I'm trying to stay away from all that good, greasy food.
Yes. Well, they got to get you and your mom on one of those cups. It's a great story.
That'll be a dream come true. Do that. Get my mom and me on the cup, I'll probably go every day.
Thanks a lot, Lance, and congrats to you and your family.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Take care. What a great story. And my God, I've watched some videos and looked at some photos. He must have been a very tough guy to deal with on the basketball court. Wow. And like Mike White said, had the most famous shot in Whipple history, in Mike White's opinion, Limits.
I watched that shot 20 times.
Tell me about it. I have to admit, I don't know that I've seen a video of it. What happens? Where do they take the ball out of bounds, and where does he release from?
Yeah, I'll have to send you the video of it. So they... And I just don't want to make sure I get anything wrong here. I'm going to try to pull up the video just to make sure that I have it correct. But basically, in a completely jam-packed gym, he gets the ball.
The Palumbo Center at Duquesne, I might add.
Yes. He gets the ball immediately. I think he takes like maybe one or takes a couple of dribbles. And then just from half court, and the broadcast was also really good, drained it, and everybody, not the crowd, but just the entire bench floods onto the court with him. And it was a perfect shot. It really was.
Wow. Well, I'll have to check it out. Also, who could blame him for not being familiar with the work of Bob and Ron, right?
Yeah. Mr. Bob Pompiani.
I can't wait worldwide to see Bob tomorrow. Can
Me
you?
Too.
I love no, Bob.
I can't wait so much that I want to see him right now.
And I know you miss Ron desperately, do you?
Not as desperately as I miss Bob.
Yeah, I miss Bob too. All right, Limits. Next up is the, what is next up actually? Is it the Limitless Express or do we have a guest? You tell me. I've
Dan Zangrilli is next.
Discombobulated
yes,
here.
Yes, Dan Zangrilli is next.
Zangrilli finally had some happy people on his show last night after the game, did he not? I would imagine. No, actually, I would imagine they were probably still angry that the Pirates only scored one run and are now on the verge of perhaps setting a major league record for most games in a row without reaching 5 runs. You think?
Probably.
How many games do they need to tie the record, and who holds it?
1. The California Angels and the Boston Braves.
The Angels of 69 and the Braves of when?
31.
Wow. That is something.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.